Grab your favorite caffeinated beverage and get cozy because you are listening to Mindful as a Mother with Paige Bruce and Lindsay Adams. This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for therapy or the therapeutic relationship, and the information given in this podcast is purely for educational purposes and is not intended to replace the advice of a professional. Hello and welcome back to Mindful as a Mother. We have another nuggy episode. Paige was just singing nuggy. My name's Lindsay and I'm here with Paige.
Hey guys.
Today we will, just a reminder, our neurodivergent nuggets. What, neuroaffirming nuggets? What are we calling them? Neuroaffirming nuggets.
I just call them neurodivergent nuggets.
Oh, okay. So these are little pieces, digestible bits of practical, tangible tips that you can take into your parenting practice, short little episodes. And we went back and forth with the name, and nuggets was popular because nuggets are safe food for a lot of people. And it's cute. So I love a nugget.
Yeah. Nuggets are easily digestible, just like the information we're going to share with you right now.
Yes. All right. So what is our nugget topic today?
Today, our topic is sharing your child's diagnosis with your child.
Oh, okay. This is a good one. And it's, I don't want to say like highly debatable, but I think it's a common concern that a lot of parents have in like whether they share the diagnosis or not and how to share the diagnosis with their kids.
Yeah. So I think we were just kind of talking about this in our own personal life, where the way that we approach helping our children understand their neurodivergence really depends on us and the environment that we feel like it's impacting our children. Mm-hmm. And I think a good highlight from one of our interviews that we did is like general respect.
Mm-hmm. So if something is I think where this came from too is we talked about my own experience being diagnosed late in life with ADHD or later in life.
Yeah.
I want to say late because I don't feel like I'm late in life. but in how that information as a child would have been so helpful to me and kept me from experiencing so many limiting beliefs about myself that like I'm lazy or I can't finish a project or I'm not organized. You know, all the things.
Yeah.
And so this kind of led into a conversation, if you listen to that episode, about how it's respectful to share what's going on with your child and the results of the information that you're gathering. Also, our kids aren't, like, if they're going to assessments and stuff, like, they know something's going on.
Yes. So we can circle back again to children are more self-aware than we believe. Mm-hmm. I really appreciated the perspective from the neuropsychiatrist we had on here. The neuropsychologist that we had on that talked about children develop beliefs about themselves and they have an awareness if something is off or different than their peers or when they're struggling. Mm-hmm. And this is when we can often create those limiting or negative perceptions of ourselves and beliefs of ourselves. So our children notice something is different and then are wondering why and are blaming themselves because kids really form opinions based on their lived experience. And right now their lived experience is them, mm-hmm. their family, and their friends.
Mm-hmm. And so in order to keep them from building these limiting beliefs, adding the context in an age-appropriate and developmental way can be really helpful. Now, the language that you use and the way you describe it is also important. I think like coming from a strengths-based approach and focusing on, yes, there are challenges, but everybody has challenges. Everybody's brain works differently. Like a more neuroaffirming approach is like always my suggestion, but I don't necessarily ever think it's okay to hide a diagnosis or from a kid. Mm-hmm. Or to, and I don't even like the term diagnosis because people get like caught up in the labeling and they say they don't want to label their kid. But I think the point that the neuropsychologists were trying to make is they're going to label themselves anyway.
Yeah.
So you want to have input and control and help them work through that. And so focusing on like, it's not a label. This is like the way your brain works. And these are a set of like characteristics that are common to that. And it's all in the way you frame it, guys.
Yeah.
Like you can take this and use the language that you feel comfortable with that's age appropriate for your child that will really help them come away from it in a positive way.
Yeah. We've been talking about quirkiness. Mm-hmm. So I really think this is the difference between I'm lazy, I can't do this, and oh, I'm having a hard time. It's just kind of how it is. I'm going to give myself a break and then I'll come back.
Yeah. Yeah. And focusing on the strengths that come with being uniquely wired is so important. So like, yes, this, like I lose my keys all the time. That's hard for me. Mm-hmm. And I am a very out of the box problem solver. So like, that's a good thing.
Yeah. And losing your keys isn't necessarily a problem. It's just an inconvenience.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's not something that's wrong with you. You're not creating problems.
And a point that I made on that other podcast that I really want to make again is that if you're struggling with like not wanting to label your child, not wanting your child to feel different, and not wanting to discuss a diagnosis with them, that really is a sign that you need to look at yourself and your own beliefs about neurodivergence and neurodiversity and recognize that these are beliefs and stigmas that we hold from the way that neurodiversity has been explained to us and we've been conditioned. And I have them. We all have them, right? Yeah. That we've been conditioned to believe about different brain types, but that our children have not had that placed on them yet.
Yes, that really comes from us. So I'm going to say my little favorite phrase again, and it is that neurodiversity is to humankind like biodiversity is to the ecosystem. And in that, because we have biodiversity, we have all of these different animals and plants, and you can even use flowers as an example. We're super into the ocean right now, so I'm like, all these different types of coral and beautiful fish, right? That's biodiversity. Mm-hmm. Neurodiversity is the same in humankind. Mm-hmm. So it's like, without these differences, we wouldn't be able to continue to move forward as humankind.
Yes. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful metaphor.
I really love that. And then also, I think something that's helpful is being able to identify maybe mentors or people that your children look up to that also have a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's a lot of powerful people, CEO of Fortune 500 companies and athletes and musicians and all of these like incredible people that we can say like this person was differently wired too. And that's why they were able to like move the world forward in this way, or why they've been so amazingly creative and successful in this one piece, or, you know, mm-hmm. those types of things.
And so a little bit of the how to talk with your child. There's different books and different things you can purchase, which are really great. It's also kind of figuring out like their level, what they're at and what questions they have mm-hmm. about their brain and like the diagnosis in general. So there's no right or wrong way to do it, but you do want to make sure you do it like at an age appropriate level, or it's all going to go over their head, or they will misinterpret it in a way that you don't want them to.
Yeah. So I think one example is I shared with my daughter that she has ADHD. Luckily, I also have ADHD, so I'm able to relate to her. And I was able to use myself as an example to model. Mm-hmm. But it's like, yes, sometimes because of how our brain is wired, it makes it really hard to remember what we have to do next. That's why. And then we introduced like different hacks. I was like, that's why I use these pictures to help remind me that these are the things I need to do. Or that's why I set a timer. So that way when it goes off, I remember the thing I was supposed to do. And I just talk about how like, your brain is differently wired, so sometimes it makes it harder to figure out how to read. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. It just takes a little bit more time.
And I think that's one of the advantages of neurodivergent parents with neurodivergent kids. And I mean, that happens often, right? Yeah. And there's a lot of challenges. Yeah. We talk about that but this is a strength in that, like, it's the family cultures. Like, my kids were all neurodivergent, probably. Like, they do not have any, like, inkling that, like, they think that that's normal. It's normal for people to operate differently. It's normal for all of us to have our own strengths and weaknesses. And it is, but even on a brain level.
Yeah.
And so we can talk about, like, sometimes mom struggles with that too, or, you know, that dad struggles with losing his, like, keys and wallet. So he has to put them in the same spot every single night so that he remembers.
Yeah, exactly. I do the same thing. And, like, I have the kids pre-pack all their stuff in the car. And then it's like, so that way if we forget anything, like, it's one less thing to mm-hmm. worry about is mm-hmm. all this stuff, right? Or the other day, like, we get really dysregulated after high demand days, mm-hmm. right? And this is something unique about our family specifically. Like, it's a neurodiverse trait, but, like, our family, I know this about us. So Alayla was being really, like, short-tempered with her siblings and, like, very sharp. And she just, we get to that, she goes, I don't know why I'm being so mean. And I was like, I don't think you're being mean. I think your body and brain are tired, mm-hmm. like mine are, because we had to do so much today. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just need a little bit of space. That's how our brain works. Mm-hmm. She was like, yeah, I need some space. And then took space.
Yeah. And it helps them recognize, like, when they need alone time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we pull in the car, and sometimes I'll, like, let the kids go, and I'm like, I'm just gonna take some alone time. And so now Ella started doing it. She's like, can I take alone time? And so we'll, like, set up a place for her to take alone time, which is really nice.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yes, it's important to share the diagnosis with your child. It's important to make sure you're doing it in an age-appropriate way. And it's important to highlight what that means for them
mm-hmm.
as far as how they navigate through the world and how we come up with systems and hacks to help support ourselves.
Because it's not about the diagnosis. I think that's the parents think it's about that, and that's the focus. And it's like, you can share that bit of information with them and then talk about, like, how their brain works and what they can do about it. But it's not actually about that. That label doesn't define them. And something, like, I talk about a lot with, like, Sam's autism with him. It's like, being autistic doesn't it's not a bad thing. It doesn't define you. It's something that, like, we pursued figuring out so that we can, like, get you what you need in school.
Yeah.
It's like, so telling them the purpose that that label serves for them. But, like, outside of that, like, you're Sam to us, and however you want your autism to be referred to is totally up to him, and we respect that.
Yes, exactly. And I think it helps that we both operate the same in that way, even with our clients, mm-hmm. where I say something along the lines of, like, really, the only thing a diagnosis is good for is getting you access to some resources and being paid by insurance. Like,
because it's about what's showing up and what unique needs you have.
Yeah.
So say you have a diagnosis of anxiety. Okay. You have racing thoughts. You're not sleeping. You're tense. You're unable to focus. Okay. So, like, you get a diagnosis of probably generalized anxiety disorder. The diagnosis doesn't mean shit, because yes. what you're going to do in therapy is work on the why. Why do you have the racing thoughts? What can you do about them?
Your specific yeah. presentation.
Yes.
And it's the same thing with neurodivergence.
Yes.
Like, when you've met one neurodivergent person, you've met one neurodivergent person, period, because it shows up so differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really the important part, like you were saying. Like, I don't sit down like, well, you have ADHD and that's what that means. But it's like, well, that's just a word that describes that your brain works differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's like mine. It's like, that's just a way to describe that your brain is wired differently, like, depending on the age. It was like, and that's why some things can feel harder, or that's mm-hmm. why we can experience, like, our feelings very, very strong, right? Like, those kinds of things.
Love.
Yes. So if you guys have any more questions about this, please feel free to DM us, email us, find us on any of our socials, and don't forget to check out our resource library. Catch you next week. Thanks for coming to Mindful as a Mother podcast. If you'd like more of us and Mindful as a Mother, you can find Paige at Instagram, at Parenting with Paige, and Lindsay at Linz_AdamsLCSW. Find us on TikTok, Instagram, and in our Facebook group, Creating Community and Smashing Parental Stigma, Embracing Mindful Motherhood and Positive Parenting. Thanks so much, and see you next time.